All right, open your scripture reference tonight is Revelation chapter 2 to start. Revelation chapter 2. I will just be honest with you up front. You know, it's funny we say that, isn't it? Let me be honest with you as if to imply all the dishonesty that comes from my mouth. So let me just tell you, my drive tonight is to encourage you. There's a neat item in scripture. And back in 2020, when Pastor and I were doing our daily words with our pastors, I taught a short lesson on this subject. And we find it in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. And it's an encouraging aspect that we don't think about very often. We may even be guilty of just sort of reading quickly through the scripture, and maybe our mind would trigger and say, oh, I wonder what that is. And we just sort of keep reading. How many have ever done that in scripture? Oh, I wonder what that is. But for the sake of my Bible reading, I'm going to keep going. Well, tonight we're going to look at that. I wonder what that is. And glean some encouragement from it. So if you recall from that words with our pastors and you are faithful watchers and you remember it 2020, good for you. You're going to get a little bit of a refresher course. And perhaps you know this topic or you know this item. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So what is it? What's the item? Who said it? Someone said it. White stone? Yep. Anybody know what that is or have thought much about the white stone before? Why am I going to get a white stone? What's that have to do with this particular verse? Him will I give a white stone. So this is one of those things that you can study and look back on and do some historical research. And it's pretty exciting, all the different uses of a white stone. And so what I want to show you this evening is just a little bit of how that was used and what it means for us as Christians and how we can glean some application from it. So if you know the history of when this was written, the book of Revelation, you will know that it was a time of severe persecution upon the church. And there's a lot of those times in scripture. But we also know here that John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony for the Lord. Christians were slaughtered by the thousands in the most horrific ways, burned at the stake, boiled in oil, thrown in pits of lions. I mean, this is the kind of thing that was happening and to Christians. So it was such a severe time of persecution. This was the situation. And in a letter to those Christians, the Lord writes to those that will overcome that he will give a white stone. So this white stone has a lot of special significance. If we are to see what it involves, we kind of need to look at the custom of the day in which this passage was written. So I'm going to give you several different verses, and I'll read them, and some of them will be on the screen for you. But if you want to jot this down to help you in a further study of this, I would love to learn more about it. In fact, as I was preparing for this evening, there was many further avenues I wanted to follow. But for sake of time, I'm not going to do that tonight. But you should, if you have free time or want to do a Bible study, look up this topic and see where the Lord will guide you. Nonetheless, this white stone, it has some special significance. So to understand the white stone, we have to understand a little bit about rocks first. So here's a little geology lesson, if you will, on rocks. So geologists will tell us that every rock has within it a lesion or a crack of some sort. Every single rock, it may look firm, it may look like there's no problem, but if you cast that rock down really hard, if you mash with a hammer, it will have a stress point that will break. Every rock has some sort of crack or lesion in it. It may not be visible, but the break is there. So I personally believe that there is a biblical reason for that. Let me just show you a verse, and you can agree with me or not, and it's okay if we don't agree. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. This is recording the final moment of Christ on the cross, and this is what it says. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You know, I think that personally, I choose to believe that that's when it happened, where what geologists in the world and scientists will tell you, and they won't, of course, quote scripture, but they'll tell you every rock has a crack. Every rock is in some way unstable. It has a breaking point. When Christ died on the cross, you know, God shook the earth. The earth quaked, and the rocks broke. They were rent, and they weren't the only things that were broken that day, right? Christ was broken. He was broken for you, and he was broken for me, that we might have eternal life. So keep in mind that every rock has a crack in it, a lesion where it can be broken apart. So in the days of the Roman Empire, the white stone played an important role in various ways. The rock, the white stone for, let's say, a Roman citizen. If a Roman citizen owned a slave and they wished to free that slave, then they would often take a white stone, they would put their seal upon it, and then they would break that white stone in half and give one half of that stone to the slave, to the freed slave, and they would keep the other half. You know, slavery back in this time, they were permanently marked somehow. Could have been a tattoo, could have been a piercing, could have been some sort of maim on the body that would indicate that they were a slave. And so if they were freed by their owner and somebody would say, hey, you're an escaped slave, we need to find your owner and take you back, you're going to be in big trouble. Well, if a slave was set free, then they were given this white stone. And that white stone then became, they're saying, well, wait a minute, no, I've been set free, and here's the stone to prove it. And if they said, well, I don't believe you, then they would travel to where the slave owner was. The slave owner would present the white stone. It would be joined together, a beautiful picture of freedom being purchased. And so they would carry that with them. It set them free. So a white stone was given. So that's one way. A white stone was also given to prisoners who had been pardoned. That did not happen very often in Roman days, for sure. But if a prisoner was pardoned, they too would bear the marks of prison. You know, I think if a Roman citizen who was in prison could somehow be transported to the prisons of today in North America, they would think that they were at a luxury resort, you know. Not that prison is a pleasant place, but this prison we're talking is the worst of the worst. Most people died in prison. They were shackled, and they bear the scars of the chains around their ankles and around their arms. And it was just a terrible place, and many people died in Roman prisons. You can read about it, and I had to stop. It was making me so sick to my stomach just to see some of the things that they were enduring. They were lucky if they didn't die because of the conditions of their bodies. They surely bore the scars of being a prisoner. So if by some miracle they were pardoned, there was just clear evidence that they were not guilty, well, then the court would provide for them, same thing, a white stone. So it would have the seal of the court upon it. They would break that stone in half, and it would break in such a way that it would fit back together if they wanted to. And so that free prisoner would then take and cherish and hold on to and guard that white stone, and then the courts would have their white stone. So again, if there was a prisoner out and about and someone saw the markings, they would say, man, that's an escaped prisoner. We need to get them to the authorities. They would be able to present again this stone and say, no, actually, I am been freed. I'm not an escaped prisoner. I have my freedom. So the white stone in those first two incidents represent freedom. And I'm sure you could, in your mind, apply that spiritually speaking, you know, that Jesus has a white stone that he has broken for us and has given us salvation. But we'll get there. Another purpose of the white stone was in association with the games, like Olympic games. You know, I was astounded at the similarities in the Olympic games today and what they started with in the Roman Empire. You know, that's when all the Olympics started. Back in Paul's day and age, this was all that they were very into these type of sports. And in the pageantry of the Olympics and the opening ceremony and things like that, if you know your history, you will see a lot of the connections to where the Olympics originated from. But the white stone was used in association with the winner of an Olympic game. If they conquered their sport and they were the best, if an athlete won, they were many times given a white stone. Well, for what purpose? You know, if that there was, not that they were in jail, it's not like they were slaves. They didn't need their freedom. But it was that same white stone with the seal broken in half. And instead of freeing them from something, it allowed them special privileges. So if you were, say, you wanted as a winner, an athlete, you ran out of money, you could take your half of that white stone to the government treasury and withdraw from the account. Now, that would be a pretty nifty stone to have. How would you like that, right? Well, give me that white stone. It's like a credit card with no credit limit, and you don't get the bill. Essentially, that's that. I don't know the amount. I'm sure it wasn't just an endless supply. But it'd be nice to know if you were good at sports and you won your sport, that you could take that white stone to the government treasury and withdraw money for your needs and wants. So that's what it meant to, oftentimes, to the winner of the Olympic Games. One more purpose of the white stone was that it was used as a form of identification. So it was, as I stated that at the beginning, a very dangerous time for Christians. They were being hunted down. They were being slaughtered by the thousands. And so it was a very hard time for them, and they would have to stick together. So to reduce the threat of danger, one would give a white stone to friends, right? Or someone was traveling, say, hey, take this stone, and that will get you into such and such's house. They'll know that you're not trying to sneak in and capture them, but that you're a friend. And so it was a token of a surety, if you will, to reduce the threat of danger. And so they would give part of that stone to a friend so they could be readily identified. So what does all of this mean to us today? The white stone that was given to, let's read the verse again in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So who are the overcomers? Well, I described the persecution that was going on. I described the difficulty. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, we do see this word pop up, this word overcomer. It says in 1 John 5 verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So the overcomers today are those who have believed in Jesus Christ and accepted him as Savior. You are an overcomer if you are a believer. You are an overcomer. That is pretty exciting. You know, reading the Bible increases your faith. And if you hear me say to you tonight that you are an overcomer, and there's not the least bit of excitement in your heart knowing this, then I feel sorry for you. I want you to experience the joy of your salvation. You are overcomers. Believers in Christ, saved people, are overcomers. By Christ and only by Christ can we overcome sin and the penalty of death that it carries. And we don't overcome it. Jesus overcame it for us. He became sin for us. And Jesus says to those that have overcome, I will give you a white stone. So what is that white stone to us today? Let me give you a few scripture references quickly. And I really don't have a lot of material tonight, but just something I hope will stick with you. And I hope that you'll think of. And maybe even the next time you see a stone or a cracked rock or something, you will think of these things. So let me refer to a few scriptures here. John chapter 8 and verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So why bring this up? Well, let's talk about that first use of the white stone that I brought up, a slave. You know, a slave, a person who was owned by another, was then set free and given this white stone, half of this white stone. So, you know, a lost person is a slave to sin. That's what we are before salvation. We're a slave to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says it like this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We were slaves to sin. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, is the word I'm looking at there, to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Can you draw some white stone application from that? We are set free through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us as overcomers a white stone. We have the passage, if you will. I have been freed. Sin no longer has the power over me. I am an overcomer through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also were prisoners. Whether you have ever considered yourself a prisoner or a slave or not, you once were. If you were a lost person, every one of us was a lost person, and I hope no one is lost here tonight. But if you are, you too can experience the joy of freedom and salvation. But you once were a slave or a prisoner, but when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were set free. Where you were a slave to sin, you can now hold up a white stone and proclaim, I have been set free. I'm no longer a prisoner to sin. Where you were a prisoner of Satan and under the penalty of death, you can hold up your stone and proclaim the penalty has been paid. I've been acquitted. I've been pardoned and set free. So that white stone that we're metaphorically talking about now goes even further today by allowing you the access to the riches of heaven. You know, it's fun to imagine being an Olympic athlete, putting all that hard work into your sport and coming out victorious and getting this amazing token, this amazing prize. By the way, the gold medal that Olympics get today, it acts in much the same way. If you look at an Olympic gold medalist, what accompanies that is endorsements from companies that want you to advertise for them, interviews, sports lines, all sorts of things come from gold medal. So in a sense, this white stone is like a gold medal. They use that, and now they have income. They have the ability to access riches that they didn't earn per se. And that way they were given as an award. So the white stone, in essence, for us today, it allows us the access of the riches of heaven. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is one of my all-time favorite verses, and one that I have relied upon over and over again, and perhaps you have as well. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I was silly as a kid. I used to think, oh, great, I'm going to get all I want, millions of dollars. God will supply those needs. Yay. You know, but as I've grown and matured in the Lord, that verse has meant so much more to me. He will supply my need according to his riches in glory. And what does he have in glory? What are his riches? They are in every way imaginable, limitless, right? They are limitless. His glory, his riches. We sing the song, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. That's just the author's attempt at trying to wrap our head around what really God owns. He owns everything. He created you. And we have access to the riches of glory. You can take that white stone before the throne of God, and you can, with it, seek the needs that you have, and God has promised to supply. You need peace in your heart. That white stone will permit you to access the peace. And we do that through Scripture. We study the Word of God, and we follow his instruction. You need heart medicine today for sorrow, for pain, for grief, for heartache, or strife. Your white stone allows you to fill the prescription. You have access to God. You've been pardoned. You belong to him. You're his child, and he will comfort you. He will give you a deep-seated joy and a peace and an understanding. You need help, it's there. You need grace, it's there. And for sake of my illustration tonight, the white stone today allows you access to the treasures of heaven. Whatever you need today, God has it for you, and as a Christian, you have access to it. And that's pretty amazing. Don't think about your needs in a worldly way. Think about your needs in a spiritual way. I love to read some of the stories of how God provides, right? And I love to share testimony of how God has provided even in my own life. You know, I was talking to Amanda Johnson and Ryan Johnson there at camp this week, with Pastor, and there was a little bit of issue with the T-shirt. The lady who was supposed to give them this special deal on the t-shirt that's printed for Camp Yes. Their printer messed up, and one color wasn't printing right, and something else happened. But anyway, they began to tell the story of how one thing fell into place in this miraculous way, and they were able to get these t-shirts, and they had what they needed, and God just sort of weaved his way through that. And then they were telling us another story about how God worked this particular situation out and how God moved in this particular way. And if we will stand back as Christians and view how God works, we could all share testimony of how God has done that, how God has put that person at the right time, how God laid upon this person's heart to share the gospel with them, or a gospel track here that they picked up and called upon the Lord. You know, all of these things God works at, and we need to make sure we have a very good godly perspective. Let me tell you, the greatest thing is going to be about that white stone. When it comes time for you to enter into heaven, when it's your time to go, when you get there, there won't be any question about whether you belong or whether you should be allowed in, right? I don't know what I saw today, but it was a meme of some sort. So some guy has died, and he's standing before the proverbial St. Peter at the gate, right? And St. Peter says to him, "Well, you are all set to enter into heaven until that guy pulled out in front of you in traffic yesterday and you lost your entrance." You know what? That would never happen, right? Because it's not based upon what we have done. It's based upon Jesus Christ. You take that white stone, if you will. You take out that pardon that you have received from Jesus Christ, and that is what permits you access to heaven. It's going to match up perfect with the half that Jesus holds, and you're going to be permitted access into heaven because Jesus gave you that white stone, and he says you belong. Revelation chapter 2 again, verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." That's those that overcome and have the white stone are those who have Christ in their heart as their Savior. They've called upon the name of the Lord, and they have received him as their Savior. They've trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, and they have trusted nothing else. You know, Pastor, when he opened up the service on Sunday, he said something that got my attention. He said, I believe there are a lot of people professing to be Christians that aren't really Christians. And perhaps they've been raised in a way where they believe salvation to be so complicated, and there's so many things that need to be done and performed, and this has to happen and that has to happen. No. Salvation is a very simple truth, right? Salvation is a simple gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, completely sinless and perfect, lived that way his entire life until he was put to death on the cross, where he suffered the death for you and I that we deserved, right? We deserved to die on the cross. That was our sin that he was dying for. And through that gift, through our faith and trust in that particular act of Christ, we can have salvation. That's what salvation is. So those who have trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ to save them and nothing else, they have the white stone. This shows that a person has Christ and what we have in Christ. God used something in his word that those that were written to would understand. You know, that time frame, the white stone was something they would have recognized. And so for him to use that was a treasure for them. Could you imagine having that? Either it represented freedom, it represented access, it represented something super special. So when they were reading, those that overcome, they would be motivated to stay true to the Lord. They'd be motivated to continue to serve the Lord. No matter what you look for in this world, it will not provide that kind of peace. It will not provide that kind of access. It will not provide that kind of lasting satisfaction. The worst thing is that when you stand between heaven and hell, facing eternity, if you will not allow that salvation. You know, I was talking to someone recently. I was witnessing to them. We know they're not saved. And I was explaining to them salvation. And it's almost as if they understood the message and the Spirit was convicting, but they were not ready to admit it. And it always just scares me, you know? Like, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know if you go out, if you're going to make it home tonight or not. We don't know that. My mother has a dear friend she grew up with, and her name is Martha. And I noticed I got a call from my mom today And Martha, they had another friend that they grew up with. Her name was Mary. She was healthy. She was 65 years old. She was a very fit woman, and she was taking care of her husband. And they walked in and found her dead. They have no clue what killed her, what happened. But she knew the Lord. She was ready to die. And we all have stories like that, right? We need to make sure our salvation is secure. We need to make sure that we know the Lord. Because with all the sin and the wickedness in the world, and without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without salvation, the Bible says that we'll be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And it's a scary thought. But I'm thankful for being an overcomer. 1 John 5:4, we read it already, but it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I'm glad for that verse that says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're a Christian today, you have every reason to shout for joy. Shout for joy. And I hope that that picture of the white stone will just be something special to you as a believer. Whenever you see that, I don't know how many times I should have done a word study as to how many times it appears in Scripture, because it's not very many. And this may be the only place. I don't know for sure. But isn't that neat to think of the white stone? Remember that it means you're free, you're pardoned, you have access to the riches of heaven, you have access to the kingdom of God because of what God did for you through his son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word today, and I know this is sort of an interesting topic and sort of an off-the-wall subject for a Wednesday night Bible study, but Lord, it's in your word. And Lord, it has touched me many times over. It touched me a few years ago when I was first studying it for the first time. And Lord, it's even encouraged me in these last couple days as I've prepared for the study tonight. And I thank you for that. I thank you that your word is always new. It's always refreshing. It's always exciting. And it's alive and it's powerful. It's sharp. And these are things that as a Christian, we benefit from. So Lord, I hope that it has touched someone tonight in the way that it has encouraged me and touched me. And Lord, may it also motivate us to want to share the truths that are represented in that white stone to those who are lost and dying and on their way to a sinner's hell. May we be bold in our witness and in proclaiming the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen.